Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
Here comes the Playhouse Podcast, thanks to Bradshaw and Bryan Law Offices.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
Let's begin now.
Here we go on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to it. It's going to be one of those weird weeks because everybody has a different gauge in where this sits in your summer. Some people are just okay with it being towards the end of summer. Some people are going to squeeze out the last couple of drops. Some people are just still in summer mode. I was talking to a friend who is a teacher yesterday. I go, hey, how's your summer so far? So fast. He goes, I can't believe I'm getting ready to go back to school and get these kiddos dialed in. And I'm like, oh, we got a couple weeks left. He's like, you have a couple weeks left. Jeez. I'm like, geez, man.
They sound fun to hang with.
Relax a little bit. What was your Monday like? Give me some stuff.
Well, Liam was gone at a friend's all day, so I got a lot of stuff done. We had football last night, so I had to go get some parents hooked up with their kids' equipment, and then I went grocery shopping and grilled some chicken, made some cute salad, asparagus, gave myself a facial, did some chores. It was actually a really productive day. I've been having those lately, and I feel so good about myself. I'm like kind of a Renaissance woman, you know, taking on the world with a body like this.
How can you lose?
And a face like this.
How can you lose?
You really can't. It's a winning combo.
Felt good to be on the football field last night. We had our first high school practice, and so that felt good just to get the guys out and get them working a little bit. I'll tell you what, it's very easy to tell, and I always felt like I came into football season in really, really good shape because summer I knew I had like 90 days to get into the best shape I could because I didn't want to be one of those guys really, really dragging on the first couple of practices. There are some kids that came in amazing condition. Mm-hmm. There are some kids that didn't do anything all summer long but sit around and eat Cheetos.
Liam's been lifting weights with another football coach. Like, this football coach lives at the school, and he's like, anybody that wants to just come join me for anything. And so Liam's been lifting and really learning the right way to do it, and he's kind of addicted. So that's a good path.
All the guys on our team are like, hey, am I going to get a shout out this year? Am I going to get a shout out on your show? And I'm like, you got to do better.
Yep.
Like, this isn't a giveaway. This isn't like listening to one of the other radio stations.
And what's so special about you? It's like when somebody walks up to you at a gig and they're like, hey, put me on. And then you say, what are you going to say? And they'll say, we'll figure it out.
We've got to win a lot of games for you to get a shout out this year. And I don't mind doing it because the airtime's free to me, but you got to earn it, son. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave me shout outs when I was playing.
Never. A North Dakota teen visited the Grand Canyon in Arizona. This story right here is exactly why probably won't go. But he was trying to take a touristy photo and fell 100 feet and lived.
I lost my grip and I started to fall back. I just remember somewhat waking up and being in the back of an ambulance and a helicopter.
Crazy.
And then the plane to here.
We were at the Grand Canyon a few years ago, and my son Peyton kept getting really, really close to the edge, knowing that it was wigging my wife and I out. Like, there's a trail 30 feet back. And then some people get close, and then some people get closer and closer.
Hell no.
He's sitting on this rock with his legs dangling over. I mean, it's a 1,000-foot drop. And I just say, oh my God, just thinking about it right now. Yeah. Like, my heart is skipping beats. It's just, I was like, what are you doing, dummy?
It's like the people that walk on the glass platform. You're a headline. You're a headline that I will read with the four before you hit the door, which is just sad to think about. A woman claiming that she was verbally attacked by another woman in front at a Taco Bell drive-thru. This is funny. So she is part of a pay it forward line.
But she didn't know it, right?
She didn't know it. She ordered $60. She was buying for a bunch of people at Taco Bell. And this woman was like, you're up to no good.
But I could hear what she was saying eventually, and I heard scam. Basically, the car before her paid for her meal. So she was going to be a good person and pay for the car behind her. But I guess the car didn't get behind her in time. And it actually was my expensive order for all my food.
That's how you roll the dice on that. Yep. Like, there's no way of knowing you're getting scammed on something like that.
If you don't know how that scam would work, it would be car number one orders something for $4. Waiting for the car number two, which is probably what's an average order at Taco Bell? $15.
Yeah, maybe.
So they pay for that person, but they're in cahoots with car number three that will then order between $60 and $100. And that's the scam right there. So I just don't.
Who's got that kind of time to scam Taco Bell?
Radio paparazzi. Go with that where you will in your mind, knowing that Taryn Manning has been doing some crazy stuff with a married man. Requests that he has had in the bedroom, she said that she has not held back and she's okay with that.
I didn't mind doing it.
Is that weird? We drove all the way down to Newport Beach today so I could buy him a boat. And I brought cash to put a down payment down. Like, I really loved him. And his wife, because he's married, and I feel so bad because I can't stand her.
Jesus.
I know it's a lot of information, but I'm the lunatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just single, very single, and he came to me. So you don't accuse me of being the lunatic, but I'll tell you one thing, lady. You want to put me in jail? I'll put you in jail so fast, your head will be spinning. Don't you ever threaten me.
She's not well.
No, and she should not have been driving that car. Do you know what I'm talking about? What she was doing with
that? Yeah, I get it. Thanks for explaining. Yeah, yeah, right.
Okay. John Legend shared
a
video.
Surprised you know what that is.
John Legend shared a photo or video on his social of his 7-month-old daughter, Esty, saying her first word. And wow, that's exactly what he wanted.
What's my name? What's my name?
What's daddy's name? Dada?
Dada.
Oh, man.
Well, you basically gave it to her. I mean, that wasn't that hard. You said it 3 times right in front of her. Of course she's going to repeat it.
He had tears in his eyes. It was so cute. They make like the same baby. They just copy and paste. They all have the exact same face. It's kind of crazy. All right. Speaking of babies, by the way, Ashley Olsen, one of the Olsen twins, gave birth to a boy named Otto in May with her husband. Who knew? Under the cloak of darkness, had a home birth. And she has not been out of the apartment because of obvious reasons, paparazzi and such. But she's a new mama. That's exciting.
It's amazing to think that Lilith Tanner got babies now.
I know. So crazy. All right. Billie Eilish. She is being a pesky younger sibling. Her brother Phineas trying to record a video. And she gets up and farts in his face.
We're in Amsterdam for a layover. Billie just told me something.
Who?
Dog. I'm just filming this. I'm not saying to anyone.
So breathy.
Right in his- you mentioned the other day that you had gotten a message from one of your exes.
Yes.
And you thought maybe it was like a Facebook Messenger scam.
I didn't respond because it has to be. Like when somebody takes over and then they're like, hey, how have you been?
Yeah.
I don't know what would have prompted that in the first place. So I just didn't reply.
I thought about you when I read this because I know one or two of your exes as we've been doing the show for a long, long time. I wouldn't have called any of them dummies, but do you ever...
You wouldn't have called Chris dumb?
Okay, he was a dummy.
He was so dumb.
Just trying to be nice here.
Okay.
Minus him, did you date any other guys that you now would consider absolutely dummies?
No, I mean, you know, my one through high school, his mouth was always open, but he was a very smart guy in the sense that, like... he just made all the right decisions, you know?
Good.
Yeah. So I'd say that. That was very smart work for a newspaper.
I dated a dummy my freshman year in college. And she was a dime on the look side.
Isn't that how it always goes, though?
And then when you're 18 years old,
yeah,
you don't really go, oh, I'm going to date this person for their intelligence. But when you can't carry on a conversation, the reason I'm bringing all this up is there was this this article that I was reading, and it was when you realize you're dating a dummy. And here were some of the realization moments of when people realized they were dating a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband pronounced ATM like Adam.
Oh, no. And not as Adam. A joke?
No. Oh. You know, he was an absolute dummy. I told the guy I was dating, he needed more humility. And he literally responded with, why would I want to be humiliated? They're just dumb.
Yeah.
She thought rust was one of the chemical elements like oxygen and silver.
And rust.
Rust was one of the chemical elements.
Some of that makes rust. So could we chalk it up to that?
She was a 40-something woman and asked, is a duck an animal?
Oh, no.
I mean, you know how incredibly good looking you have to be to survive a relationship if you're 40 and don't know that a duck is an animal. How about this one? My ex asked me, what kind of animal is Mickey Mouse?
Oh, man.
How do you know you're dating a dummy? He didn't know what color red and yellow make when mixed together.
You learn that.
Are you looking at me like you don't know that?
It's orange.
It's purple. I had to teach my ex how to locate a book in the library. We were both in college at the time.
That Dewey Decimal System, though, man, is like, it's a tough one.
You get to a certain age, and you realize your parents really screwed you up, man. They let you watch a movie or a television show that has now traumatized you as an adult trying to make a difference in the world.
So I let Liam watch The Hunger Games. It was, Derek was working, and I said, let's do a movie night. I think you're old enough. I've been trying to have him watch it for a while, but he has always just, he likes to keep it light, you know, with his movies. And so I said, let's try Hunger Games. Let's see what you think. He's so into it for like 3/4 of the movie. And then PETA attacks Katniss and puts his hands around her neck. And he started crying.
Oh, no.
So hard. He was like, I can't believe he's touching her like that. You're not supposed to touch girls like that. And he was like, obviously, we've gotten the message through. We're doing a pretty good job of parenting if he knows that those are the rules. But I was like, I wanted to tell him to, like, get it together. How horrible is that? Because I wanted to finish the movie. I've never seen it. So I had to go on and finish it myself the next day. But he was like, I'm not watching that. I don't care to watch the second or the third or whatever it goes up to.
He wasn't able to understand that it was just a movie.
He couldn't compartmentalize that,
but
it was
the murdering
was fine.
In the movie and all the death,
yes,
didn't get to him, but it was the strangulation of your girlfriend.
I'm like, they just blew up a children's school, and that's what gets you. So whatever, I had to finish it myself. You know what movie really gets me, and I watched it when I was like 16, and it still gets to me, is the Blair Witch Project. Like, I think it's the POV. I think it's like the not seeing something until you're supposed to see it. And then at the end, when he's facing the corner and then you don't know what happens to her. I mean, that's crazy.
There were a lot of movies growing up that I'd watch with my old man, and he would just sit and point out the inaccuracies when they were military movies.
Yeah.
But there was some that were really pretty traumatic. Full Metal Jacket. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
There's a part where a guy takes his assault rifle into the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And shoots his drill sergeant and then takes his own life.
Okay.
That one was very graphic at a point, and I remember that. But for me, it just has to be being exposed to it carried some heavy trauma, I think, deep into my adulthood, yeah, where I still don't even want to be around a clown. So if we asked you, what was the movie that actually traumatized you as a kid, what would yours be?
Maybe even Paranormal Activities, the ones that just seem so real. Those are.
But you saw those as adults. You don't remember one that, like, was, you're sitting in front of your mom and dad's TV. Maybe you weren't supposed to watch it, and it gave you such like shockwaves that it really stuck with you.
Yeah, probably like The Exorcist.
There
my mom had that on one night, yeah. And my mom was a young mom, so she thought that I was older than I was. And I watched it, and that was terrifying. Just walking downstairs backwards with your head the other way. That's a lot for a kid to take in.
John just texted, I was 3. My mom took me to Chucky.
Oh, no, John.
To explain special effects to me, apparently. And since then, I felt nothing when it comes to movies, because now I know from when I was 3 that it was just a movie.
So maybe that's the right route to go.
It desensitized him to violence in movies.
Yeah. But, oh, so Cujo was the one that Derek saw on his Facebook. He saw that Cujo, 90% of the movie was this little man in a dog outfit. It was not even the dog.
That.
So just like the ones where the dog's laying under the car or looking like a dog, but when it attacks the window and stuff like that, that's a man. So
thinking back to your childhood, is there one movie that stands out that legitimately traumatized you? Talking about the movies that actually caused trauma in our lives, like, you were shown it probably a little bit too early. I know for you, Kat, you say it was probably,
I would say, oh, my papers fell. It was probably The Exorcist, if I had to go back that far to a movie that really made me think at a young age. But The Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity, the ones that are real. But also Jaws. Jaws is terrifying. Jaws, like, sometimes you don't hear the music before you're attacked,
yeah,
which is not good. And it's real. There are sharks everywhere looking for your body. So,
Julie, your parents made a mistake. They let you watch what at too young of an age, and it actually traumatized you.
I went to a girlfriend's birthday party when I was young, maybe 12, 13 years old, and we watched the movie Backdraft. The parents were sleeping, and it was just a group of us girls, and now I'm just absolutely terrified of fires. House fires, apartment fires, door fires, fires.
Like, you just wouldn't be able to sleep at a friend's house anymore? Like, you had genuine, you thought you were going to burn to death for sure?
When I was younger, yeah. I've gotten a little bit over it, but...
What kind of sleepover is that? You're like young girls and you're watching an Alec, or who is it? Billy Baldwin? Billy Baldwin, Kurt Russell? That's weird. That's kind of a mature movie to watch.
Hey, real quick, Julie, how old are you?
44 now.
Okay. Do you remember going to the video store and then there was the one section that was like all the horror movies, but then there was the Faces of Death movies? Do you remember that?
Some, yes.
Yeah, so those were like, they were supposed to be, and I don't think they were, but they were billing them as like, these are actual movies that show real people dying, like not actor, like
that's terrible,
real death. And I remember looking at that every time we'd go into the movie store.
But they were fake. They were fake movies.
But I didn't know that then. I was just a little kid. And I'm like, oh my God, those are videos of real people dying. It had me so scared that I wanted always to rent one or find somebody that was 18 that could rent one for us, but I never got around to it because I was just too scared. So, but you're okay with the fire now?
Oh, I like bonfires, but if you get me anywhere near a house fire, you're going to see me running the other way.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go into the house fire either, so you and I are like that. Thank you. I appreciate you. Have a great morning. Lisa, hey, appreciate your patience. I know you've been waiting on hold for a while. What's the movie that really messed you up?
Elm Street.
Oh, when Freddy comes out of the bed and out of the closet and
that
stuff.
That really messed up Derek, too, because he had a water bed when that came out. And he said that his mom refused to switch it with another room's bed. He was just like, I could not get a good night's sleep.
Lisa, how old were you when mom and dad made the mistake of letting you watch this?
Well, they didn't. My friend and I snuck off to her mom's apartment. They were gone, and we were like, I don't know, I'm guessing around 12. And they had like a main floor apartment, so the windows were like on ground level. Oh. And it just made it scarier. Oh my gosh. Every shadow. And we watched it at night, of course.
Yeah.
So like every shadow was like, it was him. I couldn't sleep for weeks.
When you're 12, everything's going to kill you.
No doubt.
Oh my gosh. It was so scary.
So how about as an adult? What is a movie that terrifies you? Is it one of the ones that I'm talking about where it's like real life?
No, actually nothing scares me now.
Oh, nothing?
I don't know if it's traumatizing me. No, I can watch any scary movie and think it's completely stupid.
It numbed you out like to the point where nothing gets to you anymore, huh?
It must have, yeah.
Wow, right. I need what you got because I do the one eye open. You know, I know that it's an actor, but I can't shake it.
Lisa, trust me, I've seen some of the movies that give me the biggest anxiety and scare me the most, and they're Cats Home movies from when she was a little kid with that haircut that she had.
Wow.
Yeah, if you've ever seen those, boy, you won't sleep for months either. Have a great day. When was the last time you texted or typed LOL?
Yesterday.
You are lame.
I
loser
always have an issue with people saying LOL to me because I know you're not laughing out loud, and then I am one of the biggest perpetrators. I'll do it.
Stop using it.
And I'm not LOLing.
It's not even cool anymore to use LOL. There's something new.
What is it?
IJBOL.
I don't know.
I just burst out laughing.
LOL.
That's
so much.
LOL is lame and played out. You must now use IJBOL.
But that's even more of a lie. Like, laughing out loud could even be considered this. Like, because that's a laugh out loud. Yeah. I'm not going to bust a gut over, like, anything through texting.
By the way, they also figured out recently who came up with LOL. It's a dude from Canada named Wayne Pearson. He was the first to use it back in the 80s.
Wayne. That is a Wayne thing.
See, now every time you type LOL, you're feeding into Wayne. You have to assimilate now, Kat. You have to become cool. Like, I know you've really tried with a lot of your lingo around your kid, and I get it, and it's been a horrible experiment. But this one, you have to start using. LOL is dead. IJBOL.
I can't subscribe.
I just burst out laughing. You have to do it. If you want to be cool, you have to do it. Your kid is going to notice you typing LOL on something now, and you will forever be mocked as the lame parent.
But if I start doing this, all the people that I send it to are going to ask what it is. The more time I have to explain it, it's a lot.
Leave them hanging. Leave them hanging.
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo.
Bingo, what bingo?
Bingo.
Bingo.
The most frustrating part of the show for me, because I've got all these lines lit up and I want to answer all these calls and I want to hear from everybody, but only the first one through gives Kat a bingo. If you
have ever been to a convention, they have the Fan Collectors Association convention happening in Pennsylvania, of all places. And it's just a bunch of fans of fans. Oh my God, how boring.
So boring. I mean, there's not one sexy human there.
Nobody's hair is going to look good.
And mine,
all the fans are going.
And mine is, you got to call and be the first one through to give me a bingo if you're still getting married yet this year. I mean, it's well past prime wedding season, but you're still going to try and squeeze one in. All right, who gets the bingo?
Oh, bingo.
Bingo for who?
For Derek, for you. Oh my gosh.
It's JJ.
JJ, I'm sorry. I haven't had my coffee yet.
You should have seen his face. His eyes
I'm
shut.
So sorry.
He leaned back. That was rough.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, so you're getting married. When are you getting married?
In 25 days.
Ooh, okay. And what's his name?
Austin.
Boy, I sure hope he doesn't forget your name.
Wow.
Oh, I know, right?
That would be the most horrible thing in the world. My God.
People call me Kate 300 days a year, and he gets upset with one person.
All right.
All right. So what's the theme, by the way? Because I love a good themed wedding.
Is it forgetting names? Is that the theme?
Okay.
Yes, it is the theme. No, it's more like a rustic church theme.
Oh, okay.
Also like tetanus.
A rustic church. Rusty.
Oh, rusty. Okay. Whereabouts are you getting hitched? What city are you getting married in?
Monticello.
All right. Very good. And how long have you guys been together?
4 years.
Do your parents like this dude?
They do. They love him.
All right. And what do you guys think about like the future? How have you ever talked about like how many kids? Are you going to retire in Scottsdale? Like what's the plan?
Yeah, lots of kids, hopefully. Just travel the world as much we can.
Yeah.
That's so cute that you think you can do both.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know,
we have it rough. Women go through a lot more than men know. And most of the time, we don't gripe about it. You know, some women are vocal if they're in pain with certain things, certain times of the month. But daily, we walk around with things that are normal to us but would break you.
I recently learned that my cup size is equivalent to 39 pancakes. So today, my husband's going to experience what that is like. We're going to strap 39 pancakes into a sports bra, and he's going to learn what it's like to run with that amount of batter.
How am I going to do with a seatbelt?
Welcome to my life. See, now I know why my bum looks so small. Because you have, like, a really nice rump, but it looks tiny because of proportioning. They aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, aside from her having an F-cup bra size, you know, going along with women, we deal with a lot. So I would love for women to be vocal and be candid, be open and honest about what you think men should know about us. That maybe it would lift the curtain a little bit. Like, give us some grace. We deal with this.
Stephanie, what should I know about?
Like, finding pants that fit and, like, are, like, the right size. Because it's not just, like, your waist measurement number. It's, like, a random number, arbitrary. And trying to, like, figure out, like, so you don't have to go in a store and try them on every time.
That's so true. So, like, if I'm out shopping and I'm like, hey, Derek, you want some new pants? He'll just tell me a number and I'll get it and it fits. I'm like, I have to go try them on. Sometimes they don't have enough give. Sometimes they fit differently than the same number in another store. I hear your gripe, girl.
Yep. Yeah.
Nobody ever likes to think about losing a loved one. It's pretty inevitable, though. We all will. Whether we go first or we go last in our relationship, we're going to go. So I pose the question to you, Kat. If Derek went to the doctor today and found out that he had 6 months left to live,
mm-hmm.
You come home, it's heartbreaking news. You're trying to figure out where the rest of your life is going to go. But you found out that his dying wish legitimately was to be intimate for one night with another woman.
I'm trying to even make that a thing in my head. Because
would you let him?
Would it be nothing his priorities would be? I would let him. Yeah. If somebody is facing imminent death and that's truly what they want, like, what's going to stop you? They're going to go get it anyway. But they're just being nice, asking your permission. Yeah, I'd let him do it.
No way.
But he'd have to bring me something good for breakfast the next day on his way
home.
He's
dying. You're going to still make him.
Oh, you want me to let him do it in our house?
Well, for sure.
What's wrong with you?
Well, so that's the difference.
That's my last memory of my husband doing it with somebody else in our marital bed.
The difference maker is if he's being intimate with someone else in your house versus somewhere else?
Yes.
Wow. Interesting. So we threw this up on our Facebook page, getting a lot of reactions about this already. A lot of people just immediately calling the show all fired up. Brian, your thoughts on this?
Oh, man, it's a tough one, but I think I would have to give her the go ahead, man, because you're going to be widowed soon.
Yeah.
You get to move on with your life. This is her decision. It's hard. Oh, it's hard pill to swallow, but you got to do it. You got to man up, I feel. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and,
so
and
you
I appreciate
let
you.
Trisha
no,
do it?
There's no way I'd say, yeah, go out and get some strange booty. There's no way.
Her dying wish, you would deny her?
No, I wouldn't.
Wow.
I'm not going to stop her, but I would not give, clearance for this.
Well, she's going upstairs and doing everybody. If you don't let her have this.
Angie, thoughts on this? Yes or no? Dying wish, your spouse wants to be with someone else for one night.
I'm a woman, and hell no.
Well, I am too.
Hell no. Listen, the dying wish part, it gets you, but nope.
Nope.
I think my husband would divorce me if I said that before I died.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, thank you for your call. I think a lot of people are like that. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be down Broadway for a lot of people because you got a lot of other things to think about if you only got 6 months left to go around. But if your husband or your wife came to you, said, I'm going to die before Valentine's Day. My dying wish is to be with one other person.
Yeah.
Would you grant that?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm putting my foot down on that one.
Kevin Costner dealing with his estranged wife. Her name is Christine Baumgartner. She just drops this bomb. They have three kids. One day she literally, and I wouldn't say it would be blindsided. Odds are there are plenty of signs pointing to the end being there. But she ended up staying in their multi-million dollar mansion for another 5 months
She's
after filing.
Squatting.
And then, and he was trying to get her out through his lawyers. And then, so she has since moved out of his $145 million mansion. While she was there, she was using his credit cards and running up just $10,000 a day, $15,000 a day. And now she is calling for his silent treatment to end. So he has been giving her the silent treatment. And she's like, I really hope that we can move on and come up with some sort of amicable relationship for the kids' sake, because they will have to co-parent.
You mean after you stole my house and spent all my money?
Yeah. I don't know.
But this dude took the high road. He just ignored her, huh?
He's still no word. I don't know if there's texting going on, but he will not speak to her.
Probably pretty smart, because anything can be used against you.
Yeah, that's true. And would you want him to say something that is hurtful? Maybe
I'm
he's
sure
doing
she
this
does.
For her.
I'm sure she wants him to say something that's going to validate her anger or whatever reason she's calling for this divorce. And if he's just like, all right, deuces.
So I'd love to get our caller on and then I'll talk to you about what my friend is going through. And stuff can get really dirty, but what is the dumbest thing that you argued about during a divorce?
Candace, how long have you guys been split up?
We got a divorce 8 years ago.
All right. And we look back on it now. And what was the silliest part about that?
So a while before we got a divorce, I had bought this really nice electric garbage can.
Yeah.
you mean where you wave your hand and then the lid goes up? Was it one of those?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
Listen to you laughing because you know how dumb it is. All right.
It was a $45 garbage can. And yeah, he was like, you can have everything, but I want the garbage can.
Man.
He was loving that thing more than you.
Did he just know you liked it that much? He just hit below the belt.
Well, he had done a lot of things that
Kevin Costner's ex did, ringing up money and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, I'm keeping the garbage can, and I still use it to this day.
And you think about the spiteful little act you pulled to make sure that he couldn't have the damn garbage can in your divorce.
You know what you should do? You should put on all your socials every single day you throwing away something. Because you know
great.
He creeps on your pages.
Just a video of you waving your hand and that thing opening for you. You just put a banana peel in there or something. That's the greatest.
Every day, just one thing you toss in there.
You sound like the type of person that would have taken a divorce selfie, like, as you were signing the documents and then posted it everywhere as well, with, like, him just looking disparaged.
Why did he leave? You sound so lovely.
Actually, he asked me to leave.
Oh.
And then I did, and I never came back, is what it was.
Okay.
Scott, did you know that conversation was coming, or was that just, like, I got to pack my stuff for the first time thing?
You know, in the moment, it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. But then in hindsight, you see that it was coming. Totally.
Yeah. How so he asks you to leave. Timestamp that versus the time where you just went, you know what? Screw this guy. I'm keeping the garbage can. Like, how further down the thought pattern were you before you were like, I'm going to do the most stupid, dumb, juvenile thing I can here?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. It's such a blur, but it took me one night living out of that house to know I wasn't going to go back.
That's
I don't
good.
Think I was clutching onto the garbage can that night, but.
And then when it goes kaput, when you're ready to move on from the garbage can, I want you to film that, too, going into the trash. That garbage that he loves so much going into
the garbage.
You know
what you could do, too, really, is you could.
We're so vindictive.
You could send him little notes about where you've hidden it.
The Playhouse Podcast is made possible thanks to Bradshaw and Brian Law Offices. Catch the live show weekdays from 5:30 to 9 on 104.7 KCLD. Now, share this with a friend.